Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for and welcome to the fourth quarter 2008 Macisa SA earnings conference call. My name is Ann, and I will be your coordinator for today's call. If you need assistance at any time during the call, please press star followed by zero, and an operator will be very happy to assist you. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This presentation is available to download at www.macisa.com. We will be facilitating a question-and-answer session toward the end of the presentation. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host for today's call, Mr. Eugenio Arteaga, Macisa's CFO. Please proceed, sir.
Good morning. Welcome to Macisa's conference call. As usual, our conference call today will start with important events that occurred in the fourth quarter 2008, and also recent announcements we've made in the markets. Then we'll move to an analysis of a results comparison between the fourth quarter of 2008versus the fourth quarter of 2007. Then we'll move into some highlights on performance improvements, and we will move to financial overview and a review of the progress we have made on the financial strengthening plan that the company has adopted since the fourth quarter of last year. Finally, we'll move into the important events and some comments on the outlook for 2009 on the different business units and business lines that the company is engaged. First, I'd like to comment on the changes that were announced to the market yesterday, first describing them and then giving a few comments on the changes. Roberto Salas was appointed general manager of the company by an ordinary board meeting held yesterday, for which he first resigned as chairman of the board of the company. This change and others that I'll mention in a minute are effective on March 25th of this year. In turn, Enrique Sivier resigned as general manager of Macisa and will assume as a board member of the company effective March 25th. In addition to this, another board member, Carlos Marin, presented his resignation to the board, and he will be replaced by Rosangela Faria, effective on the same date. She was formerly an executive of Macisa in the area of corporate governance. Jorge Kiri, who was a board member of the company, was appointed as chairman of the board, also effective on March 25th, 2009. These changes to the board of Macisa are in line with Grupo Nueva's strategy in terms of concentrating its focus solely in Macisa, which is demonstrated and evidenced by the designation of their president and CEO, Roberto Salas, as Macisa's general manager. Roberto Salas has been president and chairman of the board for over a year now and has been deeply involved in the strategy definition and business matters of Macisa for all 2008 and the first month of 2009. All of these changes are also aligned and supplement the operational and financial restructuring that the company has conducted over the last few months, which have caused a significant change in terms of operations, in terms of plants, assets, also a restructuring of the administrative and management levels of the company, which happened recently in December, and the financial strengthening plan that we will cover during this conference in detail. This structure is expected to facilitate the management process of Masisa. The decision-making processes of Masisa will be simpler and faster, which is totally aligned with the need to react quickly to the new market conditions. Other important events that happened in the fourth quarter of 2008 include the financial strengthening plan, which was initiated in that quarter, which consisted and included the issuance of local bonds in the Chilean market for approximately $100 million, several long-term bank loans, syndicated and bilateral bank loans, reduction and restructuring of all of the company's debt denominated in bolívares, which happened in the month of November, and an equity increase process, which is in progress, and that will happen in approximately a week or 10 days. We will cover this strengthening plan in greater detail further throughout the conference call. Also, in the fourth quarter, our focus in the core business, the wood panel business in the region of Latin America, we continued concentrated in such core business with the sale of certain assets in Rio Negrinho, Brazil, which happened in the month of December. Those assets consisted in a sawmill, a finger joint molding line, and approximately 7,000 hectares of forests in Rio Negrinho, in Santa Catarina, Brazil, for a price which was approximately $70 million. The private bidding process was awarded in mid-December. The price of the assets was paid in mid-January. The proceeds of the sale were used to repay short-term debt. In addition, the company reached last year sales over $1 billion, a 9.1% growth over 2007, with quarterly sales dropping by 11% on the fourth quarter of the year as a result of the global crisis affecting the different markets where the company operates. The sales drop is mainly explained by a significant local currency appreciation, depreciation in many of the markets where the company operates, mainly Brazil, Chile, Mexico, and Colombia, with a consolidated effect of sales reduction amounting to $24 million approximately. Also, due to a slowdown in the regional wood board demand towards the end of the quarter. With this quarter, the company reached an annual EBITDA of $176 million, very close to the prior year EBITDA, which was roughly the same figure. Moving on to page four of the presentation, the company also undertook a series of proactive initiatives on the operational front, including plant closures in some of the countries, Brazil and Chile mainly, shift reductions of less efficient, less competitive plants, and also the sale of the mentioned non-strategic assets in Brazil. These actions were oriented to keep inventories under control and proactively react to the reduction of market demand in different markets. In addition, the company undertook an organizational restructuring process, which produced a significant simplification of the administrative management structure, whereby approximately 250 people left the company in December of last year. This also considered the reduction of our structure from four business units, which we were reporting until the prior quarter, to two business units, basically industrial and the forestry business units. In 2008, many actions were taken in terms of asset divestitures, asset sales, plant closures, and shift reductions, which cost the reduction of our workforce by 1,200 employees during the year. This is a very significant action in terms of cost reduction efforts because it implied 24% workforce reduction in terms of direct workforce. In addition, as a result of the actions taken in the operational front, working capital ended the year at the same levels compared to 2007 in terms of dollar terms, and it improved in terms of working capital to sales ratio from 26.5% to 24.3% at the end of 2008. This shows that management has been concentrated in an effective use of its assets and keeping close control of inventories building up because of the slowdown in demand. The construction of our MDP plant in Montenegro, Brazil, continued on schedule, and so it does until this date. Start of operations is expected to happen by May of 2009, and is expected to be in full production by the end of 2010. It will have 750,000 cubic meter annual installed capacity and also includes a melamine line of 300,000 cubic meter capacity per year. The production will be focused on the Brazilian market, and investments in the project will total approximately $130 million in total, which is reasonably within budget. Moving on to the second section, results comparison in the fourth quarter. On page six, you have a copy of a summarized income statement where sales are presenting an 11% reduction in the fourth quarter of 2009 compared to the prior year. The sales decrease, as explained earlier, is mainly due to the devaluation of the local currencies of many of the markets where we operate, implying a 24.2% reduction in sales due to this effect. Also, towards the end of the quarter, because of a certain slowdown evidenced in the wood board market in the region in the period. In addition to this, the company didn't have any significant OSB sales in the quarter because of a decision to exit that business and sell the plant to Lucena Pacific, which was done in May of 2008 and completed in September 2008. That by itself represents a significant reduction of approximately $14 million in sales. Also the lower sales volumes, lower sales of moldings, both MDF and finger joint moldings, mainly finger joint because of the decision the company made to exit that business because of our view that Maciza is not competitive in the long term in the production and commercialization of finger joint moldings. In terms of gross margin, they present a 43.3% fall. This is again due to the effect of the devaluation of the local currencies of many of the countries where we operate, affecting sales, but not fully compensated in cost reductions since approximately 45% of our company's operating costs are dollar denominated and therefore do not provide for any benefit if the local currencies devalue. The main factors included there are resins, energy, and also logistical expenses. In addition to that, the fourth quarter of last year was one with high raw material costs, including resins, wood, and energy. As we had been explaining in prior quarters, the company had been taking a very active management of pricing and product mix strategies in different markets to cope with rising raw material costs, and the company had been successful in more than offsetting the effects of those rising costs. However, that, in conjunction with the effect of the local currency devaluations, was not fully offset, and that produced certain fall of the gross margins in the quarter. Over time, with the company's strategy to continue pushing for selective increases in prices in some of the markets, and also the expected significant reduction of raw material costs, mainly resins, energy, and transportation costs, the company expects to be able to reasonably defend its margins. In terms of selling, general, and administrative expenses, the company presented a 20.8% reduction quarter-on-quarter, and that as a result of significant cost and expense reduction programs the company undertook, especially in the fourth quarter, which will continue to produce benefits throughout 2009. This included an aggressive restructuring of the management and administrative offices and the corporate offices, with personnel reduction reaching 250 people in December. In the non-operating area, non-operating income improved significantly in the year, mainly explained by higher other non-operating earnings of 52.9 million, which again were mostly produced by the Bolivares debt restructuring process, which generated one-off earnings of $67.2 million for Macisa, with an equivalent reduction in consolidated debt. This transaction was carried out in November, mostly, and a little bit in December, but was completed before year-end and generating these earnings. Such earnings were partly offset by higher unfavorable exchange rate differences in the quarter that increased from $8.4 million to $23.6 million in the fourth quarter of 2008. And also, we're affected by provisions and restructuring costs associated with the cost and expense reduction programs the company undertook, reaching $20 million in the last quarter. And those were also booked in the other non-operating line. All of that is in addition to increase in interest expense due to higher interest rates prevailing in the fourth quarter of 2008 compared to the fourth quarter of 2007, and also increased amount of debt in average terms, which produced the increased interest expenses. At the bottom line level, at the net income level, it was better, mainly as a result of the non-operating result being much better than the prior year, and also due to lower deferred taxes associated with a positive effect on income taxes from dollar-denominated debt existing in Brazil, which produced certain benefits in terms of deferred taxes. That resulted in a net income increase for the year of 6.7, reaching $15.5 million. All of the operating comments I gave earlier explain a drop in EBITDA terms from 47.7% to 26.8%, meaning a 43.7% drop, mainly associated with the local currency devaluation effects of the quarter, which are rather significant, in excess of 25% for the countries mentioned before, and also the slowdown in demand observed towards the end of the quarter. On the following section on highlights on performance improvements, on page eight, consolidated sales reached over $1 billion, mainly driven by the MDF and particle board businesses, which had an annual performance which was very, very favorable, and were offset by the wood business units products that had a lower performance, mainly as a result of the construction slowdown in the U.S. and the moldings business falling significantly. In terms of EBITDA, on annual terms, it was stable, reaching a similar amount compared to 2007, $176 million. Net income grew by over 21.5%, reaching $43.6 million, mainly as a result of certain non-operating effects in the fourth quarter. On page nine, we highlight the better and more effective use of our asset base, with sales to total assets improving from 44% to 46%, and operating working capital to sales improving from 26.5% to 24.3%, when excluding the receivable associated with the sale of the assets in Leoreirinho, which is a non-operating receivable and therefore shouldn't be taken into account. Such receivable, as mentioned before, was collected fully in mid-January of this year. Moving on to the financial overview and strengthening plan overview. On page 11, there's a description of our objectives and the progress we've made in the different fronts and initiatives. This financial strengthening plan is supplementary to the operational restructuring the company has undertook to prepare the company for a very severe crisis that may happen and may hit the region in Latin America, with potentially demand falling and continuing in levels lower than 2007. The main objectives of the financial strengthening plan included reaching or achieving a total debt reduction and minimization or elimination of short-term debt. In terms of our progress made so far, as of February, the end of the close of February 2009, a reduction of net debt has reached 11%, and 100% of our debt is presently structured as long-term debt. This is before the equity increase process that will start in about a week or 10 days. Another objective was the extension of debt maturities, because the company presented by September significant maturities in the short term, approximately $300 million. Presently, maturities are all structured in the long term, with long-term debt maturities falling in 2009 amounting to $52 million and falling in 2010 amounting to $66 million only. After the equity increase process, we expect that the company will have cash resources on hand amounting to approximately $120 million, which will be the cushion the company needs to finance or repay these maturities, these long-term debt maturities falling in 2009 and 2010. In addition to that, the company objective was to strengthening our shareholder equity base, and we have reached so far a leverage reduction from 0.74 to 0.68, measured as debt to equity. Total liabilities to equity, excuse me. And wanted to get more flexibility and show a better, strong financial profile, which we may evidence as our cash to short-term debt improving from 0.1 to 0.68. And our projection is when we're done with the capital increase, this ratio will be in excess of 1.5 times. So we will have cash resources to repay all short-term debt maturities for 2009 and also 2010. Moving on to the specific initiatives. The specific initiatives included a $100 million equity increase, where the controlling shareholder was publicly committed to subscribe its share. This equity increase process was approved by an extraordinary shareholders meeting on December the  16th, and the process is scheduled to begin by mid-March and end by mid-April of 2009. The controlling owner will exercise its rights towards the beginning of the process of the equity increase plan. Second initiative was the restructuring and repayment of $67 million of Bolívar-denominated debt, which was completed in November, with resulting in a significant debt reduction amounting to $67 million and also one-off earnings that were included in our financial statements. The third was restructuring of long-term bank loans between $100 to $150 million, where we completed two transactions and are in the process of documenting a third. The first was a $103 million syndicated bank loan, which was closed and dispersed in December 2008. Another one was a bilateral bank term loan for $30 million, which was closed and dispersed in February. And the third is a committed credit line that was offered by a bank, and where it has a commitment from a bank. It's a three-year committed credit facility, which is currently in the documentation process, and we expect to finalize it within March. The fourth element is placement of local bonds in the Chilean market. We, on January the 7th, placed 3 million UF bonds in the local market, equivalent to approximately $100 million, in a single tranche 21-year bond with 10 years grace. This was placed fully in the local markets in January. The fifth initiative is a BNDES credit facility to finance our MDP project in Montenegro, Brazil. This facility was closed in February. The first disbursement was toward the end of February for $17 million. The remaining portion will be dispersed between March and May according to the construction schedule of the project. The final element of the plan was the sale of non-strategic assets in Rio Negrinho for $70 million, where we awarded the private bidding process in December and received full payment in the month of January. Funds were used to repay short-term debt. The result of all of these actions and initiatives, which exclude the equity increase process, are shown in page 12 of the presentation, where we present total debt and the debt profile, that the company had in September, by the end of September of 2008, as compared to the present reality in February 2009. The reality in terms of debt reduction is a reduction from $686 million total debt to $626 million in terms of total debt, with net cash, with cash and cash equivalents being roughly the same compared to the each other period, $31 million and $36 million. The maturity profile of the debt has changed and improved significantly, as you may observe in the graph. And maturities falling in 2009 and 2010 consist only of maturities of long-term debt. The resources to repay such debt are expected to come from the capital increase process we will initiate shortly, plus the cash resources the company had at the end of February. The maturities falling in 2011 consist mainly of refinancing of certain bank loans that were part of this same financial strengthening plan, and therefore those fall toward the end of 2011, where the company will face the need to refinance approximately $200 million of debt. Moving on to page 13, the progress of our financial strengthening plan has been evidenced in certain ratios improving significantly. Total liabilities to equity improves from 0.72 in December 2008 to 0.68 at the end of February. And cash to short-term liabilities improving significantly from 0.22 by December 2008 to 0.68, both before the capital increase process, which will produce significant resources in addition to this for the company. By the end of the year, net debt to EBITDA reached 3.66, and this was again before the transactions that took place in January, February, and especially the capital increase process, which will be carried out in March and April of this year. And interest coverage ratio ended up being 4.46, which will improve over in 2009 because of the debt reduction that we've been able to achieve as a result of the financial strengthening plan. Now, moving to the final section of the presentation, important events in the fourth quarter. In terms of the wood board business, we faced lower sales volumes in MDF of 7.2% and in particle board of 28.6%, which were offset in part by price increases in average terms, which reached, in the case of MDF, of 9.9%, and in particle boards, 9.3%. And this is despite the effect in prices associated with the local currency devaluations of the main countries where we operate, namely Brazil, Chile, Mexico, and Colombia. The only currencies that did not devalue significantly were the bolivares in Venezuela or the Argentine peso in Argentina. And also, volumes were affected by the slowdown of the board market towards the end of the quarter as a result of the economic crisis and inventory adjustments by many of the distributors we operate in the different markets. In terms of costs, production costs, devaluations in such local currencies partially offset the cost increases of the main raw materials, resins, wood, and energy, which are the most important ones. And this was due to the fact that 45% of such operating costs are either expressed or indexed to the dollars, and therefore we could not benefit from that portion of the costs being lowered. In terms of our retail channel, distribution channel, which is the most important and strategic, we continued migrating our Placa Centros from a license scheme to a franchise model. And we, in such objective, reached surpassed our objective of reaching 71% and reached 73% of the Placa Centros being under our franchise scheme. Total Placa Centros ended up being 336. And 40% of our wood board sales in the year were coated or melaminated wood boards. And those wood boards have a significant protection under the current market scenario because we obtain significantly higher margins from these products than raw wood boards. Brazil, a market where we expect to face more competition as a result of certain plants being put into production, we commercialize 70% of our production with melamines or coated boards. The Placa Centros distribution channel represented 32% of our total wood board sales in the region, and that provides a significant strategic protection against the development of other channels or competitors. In the solid wood business, sawlumber sales increased almost 25% in the fourth quarter of last year compared to the prior year, explained mainly by a significant increase in volumes. And this is a result of our strategy to move away from the less attractive, lower margin finger joint moldings oriented to the U.S. towards sawlumber oriented to diversified markets with higher margins. In terms of solid wood doors, we had a 6.2% increase in sales, and in terms of MDF moldings, sales were down by 5.7%, mainly due to a drop in prices in the USA compared to the prior year. Moving on to the operational strengthening plan, a summary of actions taken by the company. In line with our strategy to maintain our financial strength and improve the condition of the company to face the worst conditions expected in the market for this year, and maintain our ratings, especially investment grade ratings, coped with our financial strengthening plan. We've taken and took a series of measures in the operational front. First, we've taken the action of reducing our capital expenditures in 2009 from $175 million to $90 million. Approximately half of that will be associated with the completion and the termination of the construction of the MDP plant in Montenegro. The rest is mainly associated with forestry growth and maintenance programs. Approximately $37 million will be invested in the forestry area for the normal development and growth of the forests we own. On another front, completed a restructuring and expense reduction effort with an SG&A savings plan of approximately $20 million expense reduction for 2009, which included an organizational restructuring and simplification of management and administrative forces, both at the corporate level and at the country level. Also implemented a number of shift reductions in certain plants to keep control of costs and also inventories under control and in line with the slowdown of the demand. We also decided to close certain less competitive plants to defend our margins and react to the slowdown of the demand. We have cut down significantly our consulting and outsourcing services. And throughout the year, as a result of various initiatives, reduced our workforce by 1,200 employees, meaning approximately 24% of workforce reduction. Our core business focus resulted in a few transactions being completed during the year. The OSB plant sale completed in May 2008, the closure of our finger joint molding line in Chile, which was followed by the sale of the assets in Rio Negrinho, also including a finger joint molding line. All such sales and closures are aligned with preparing the company for a worse year this year in 2009 than that was last year in terms of volumes and products. We have kept our focus in products where we have competitive advantages, such as the wood board panel and also MDF moldings and doors and sawn lumber. We have implemented a number of changes in product mix in all of our business lines, including the forestry area, focusing on products with higher margin to face the current reality. Moving on to the following page on the forestry business unit, on the forestry businesses. First, I need to highlight that the forestry business unit typically generates very stable cash flows, irrespective of the economic cycle, relatively irrespective of the economic cycles, providing for better stability of our EBITDA margins from that business unit. Forestry EBITDA reached in 2008 $53.2 million, 11% higher than 2007 when reached $48 million. This is a significant portion of the consolidated EBITDA of the company. In terms of the forestry assets, the major transaction that happened was the sale of the assets in Rio Negrinho, which included 13.5 hectares of land but 7,100 hectares of planted forest, which was sold as part of that transaction. Harvesting reached 2.8 million cubic meters, very similar to the levels harvested in the prior year. Total capex reached 41 million and is expected to be approximately 47.6 million dollars in 2009, and this includes 9,100 hectares of greenfield projects that may be done directly or in associations with third parties, which we're currently negotiation. In summary, the operational and financial strengthening plans undertook by the company towards the end of the year have resulted in the company today having 100% of its debt structured as long-term debt, with maturities in 2009 amounting to only $52 million, and with a projected cash balance by the end of March reaching $116 million. That is 1.45 times 2009 maturities, $52 million, plus interest expenses forecasted for 2009, showing a very healthy financial situation for the year, and leaving the company with excess cash toward the end of the year to be able to face its long-term debt maturities in 2010. By the end of March 2009, the company expects to have reduced its net financial debt by approximately 20% compared to September 2008, as a result of some of the initiatives included in the financial strengthening plan. In general terms, the financial strengthening plan will result in this 20% net debt reduction in total terms of all debt structured in the long term, thus alleviating the company from any financial pressure in 2009 and 2010. Another important factor for 2009 is the expected reduction of the main raw materials, mainly resins, energy, and wood and freight services. We expect to have over 50% reduction in residence costs and also freight services, transportation costs. That will help maintain and defend our margins in the year. We've taken many proactive initiatives in the operational front and will continue to do so in line with the behavior of the markets and demand. We are prepared to take decisive action on our plants in terms of closing plants that are being less efficient, less competitive, and we will, as a result of that, maintain our inventories level under control. We expect a reduction of SG&A expenses as a result of our cost and expense programs, many of which were implemented last year in the fourth quarter, but some of which are being implemented during the first two quarters of this year, including a complete restructuring of our general administrative support services. There's a strict capital expenditure control to keep them under control. The projected capital expenditure investments for the year are between $80 million and $90 million. Again, $45 million of that represents the investments that are needed to finalize the construction of the MDP project in Brazil, which will start commercial operations by mid-year. We will continue our focus in maintaining working capital efficiency, especially inventories and receivables, which we've been successful in maintaining in the last few quarters. In summary, we are convinced the company has taken decisive actions in the operational front, in the management front, and also financial front to face difficult times, which we're seeing in the markets, both in financial markets and also in the region in terms of demand, which we expect to be more than prepared to face during the year. It's with great confidence that we see the company prepared for that and prepared to take further action if needed, if the markets continue to show demand reductions. Our closing remarks, again, focus on the financial strength of the company. After the capital increase process, which will be happening in the next four to six weeks, the company will be sitting on $116 million-$120 million of cash resources that will be used to finance its long-term debt maturities in 2009 and 2010, which with operating cash flows being used to finance capital expenditures, which will be lower in 2009 and much lower in 2010. We expect that capital expenditures in 2010 will be in the range from $40 million-$50 million. A further reduction because there's not going to be the finalization of the MDP project. Therefore, the company has put together a plan and has almost completed it in all of its aspects, except for the capital increase process, which counts with Grupo Nuova's commitment to contribute its $65 million right at the start of the process, will leave the company in a very comfortable situation for both years in financial terms. From an operational front, the company has taken very significant action and will continue to do so to keep working capital under control, to keep its costs competitive, and take action on any plants that we may need to close if demand is even worse than originally anticipated. As a result of that, we are confident that the company is very well positioned to face the current crisis in all aspects. Thank you very much for your participation. We will be happy to answer any detailed questions you may have through our investor relations department that you may call at any time. Thank you. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation, and you may now disconnect. Have a great day.